Welcome to Terra Talks, where we talk about all things real estate. In each episode, we'll tackle current trends and topics of interest, both locally and regionally. However or wherever you decide to tune in, you're not going to want to miss this.
Welcome, Neil McIntyre, the man in the business facility management. And of course, this is another edition of Terra Talks. And today we're going to be taking an in-depth look at facility management and best practices. So I think that's where we should start. How would you define some of the best practices that you would employ in your day-to-day role as a facility manager?
Well, firstly, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. This is my first podcast, so I'm actually excited to go through this experience. As it relates to facility management, I'd like to start by saying, you know, basically it is integration of people, process, and place.
Right. So three P's
in the ball. Right. What you try to do is create a type of synergy between the three, and that's where you get your organizational success.
Right.
Now, facility management or facility manager, they basically have several competencies under their belt, you know, which would be the health and safety of the occupants. It'd be the operations and maintenance of the building, and of course, the leadership and financial aspects for landlords and owners.
Right.
So we try to manage all of those and just make it into one.
Well, it sounds like a lot, but if you were to break it down even further in terms of the importance of adopting best practices, what might you say to me, a man that doesn't know per se?
Right. Okay. So best practices are really what we try to do to get the best outcome possible, you know, with as little flaws. For example, in terms of repairs and maintenance, what I would do as a facility manager, I have a project coming up. I'd go get several quotes from contractors. And of course, these are probably reputable contractors.
Absolutely.
These quotes would include a risk analysis. So we try to cover every possible, you know, negative that can happen. A method statement, which will give us a layout of the day-to-day operations, how the project is going to be executed. Mm-hmm. And of course, we try to capture insurance as well.
Public liability insurance, just to make sure that the project is covered. And if there's any cases of incidents, accidents, obviously that particular scope of work is covered.
Correct.
Absolutely. Perfect. Sounds really good. All right. So I do appreciate all that you share with us, because I mean, you're a man that's been in the business for some time. And I think that you're very well qualified and positioned to speak on such topics.
You're giving me a little bit more credit than I deserve, man.
All right, so if we were to move on, Neil, my next question or what I'm thinking is really about the significance of conducting walkthroughs. Because I'm sure that, you know, inspections are a very big part of what you do, just to make sure you stay ahead and on top of everything.
So you're absolutely correct. As a facility manager, what I try to do is follow checklists. So I have weekly, bi-weekly, and monthly checklists.
Right.
Now, these checklists... The way the integral component comes about is because they allow me to pick up, you know, problems and act on them before they get to become an issue.
Absolutely.
And then it also gives me the opportunity to identify areas that we can actually develop and make the built environment or the facility better.
Right. So it's very important to break it down, because I imagine it's quite a lot, into weekly segments, into bi-weekly segments, monthly segments, and so on, in terms of making sure that you cover all aspects of the facility.
Data is what really helps us to capture all this information.
Right.
Yes, we might go on the site on a weekly basis, bi-weekly, monthly, but what do we do with the data that we capture? This is where we actually use it for decision-making. We use the data to basically create trends and forecasts.
Right.
So for instance, we know that there are particular times of the year where we start to lose sunlight.
Absolutely.
We'd use this data to start to install stuff like photocells for electricity saving. A photocell basically allows lights to turn on when sun goes down.
Absolutely.
Basically, in terms of irrigation, if we know that an area is prone to rain, we're probably not going to use the irrigation system. We'd let the plants be watered naturally from the rain. So we use this data to just create trends and forecasting.
That sounds good, because as you mentioned, it's all about cost savings, and it's all about making your business fit for purpose and getting away from having to go and turn on switches, for example. So you might be out, and then of course the sensor kicks in, or the photocell, for example, and obviously illuminates the area, you know, which obviously leads to safety and security as well.
Of course. You hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah, it's all about cost savings. But I'm liking the discussion, Neil. And as I said, I would rather have done this podcast with none other. So I'm also learning from you. And of course, our listeners, I'm sure will have a lot of takeaways from our conversation. But I would want you to, if you were to engage me a little bit on the impact of well-thought-out space planning, because I'm sure that in today's world, offices as we know them are not being set up as we would have been accustomed to. So there's a lot more flexibility and so on and so forth. So the importance of space planning and its integration into facility management, what would you say to us?
I'm glad you asked that question as it relates to the integration of facility management, because from experience, we don't get considered when buildings are built.
Right.
We come after the fact.
Right.
So from my perspective as a facility manager, the proper use of space planning would be, you know, where certain systems go so that they are effective as possible.
Right.
For instance, a potable water system.
Mm-hmm.
This is a system that people use to create constant pressure through, within a building.
Right.
What you're going to do is have it in an accessible area where, one, in the event of water outage,
right,
you still have access to refill the tank.
Right.
Two, you're going to have it in an area that, when there's still low water pressure, that water can still get to the tank. For instance, if the tank was on the roof of a 4-story building,
absolutely,
you're not going to get pressure getting past the second floor, probably, if so much. So space planning is very integral to the proper running of a system.
The tank, as you said, has to be in an accessible position in order to be refilled. And then ultimately, you would still want to have the flow continuing in terms of reaching all levels where applicable. So the strategies for optimizing space utilization and creating flexible work environments, how much of that is facility management?
So there is a big aspect that is facility management, but the strategies that I would recommend mm-hmm. is that we discuss with industry professionals at the initial stages of space planning.
Right.
Such as HVAC specialists, absolutely, heating, ventilation, and cooling. There are buildings that they decide to do all glass windows.
Mm-hmm.
If your AC isn't sized correctly, you're going to get a ton of heat load coming through the building.
Absolutely.
You're going to see a lot of condensation from your HVAC system.
Yeah.
It's the same with plumbing and electrical systems. You know, so incorporating both facility management and industry professionals,
mm-hmm.
I think those are the strategies that you need to start with.
Right. So the collaboration is very,
collaboration
very important.
Is important.
And we should probably come in a lot more earlier rather than on the back end.
I think so.
So, well, I guess we will have to explore that topic in another conversation. But if we were to look at, you know, the importance of preventative maintenance, how to prevent equipment breakdowns and so on, tell us a little bit about that and how important as well it is for facility managers.
So preventative maintenance is really a type of maintenance that allows a system to get to the end of its useful life.
Right.
It can also be a type of maintenance that helps extend the lifespan of a system. It's designed to keep the system working with minimal failures.
Right.
It prevents loss of productivity. It prevents discomfort. And just for examples, you know, AC maintenance, no tenant wants to be working in hot conditions.
Absolutely.
You know, at least probably going home and having to work remotely. And you know what happens when you work remotely? There are distractions at home.
Absolutely.
So it's a very important part of our day-to-day process.
Right. So if you were to say to me, implementation of preventative maintenance schedules and the use of technology for monitoring, how would you underscore that in the realm of the things that you've just shared with us?
So as you mentioned, the use of technology, facility managers, we usually use a computer maintenance management system,
right,
to record such activities. So a system of this sort would allow you to record dates, when services are due, you know, the vendors that we contact, the lifespan of the equipment mm-hmm. that we're servicing. And this is what allows us to keep on top of making sure that a piece of equipment or a system gets to where it's supposed to get.
Right.
You know, and lasts as long as it's supposed to last.
Yeah, sounds good, because I mean, it's an investment, it's an asset. And if you buy a piece of equipment for $100,000, you just can't put it there and think it will take care of its own. So the schedules obviously has to align in order to make sure that you get the most out of that and minimize downtime, I imagine. All right, let's take a look now, Neil, at energy efficiency and sustainability in the world of facility management. So my direct question to you will be to highlight the benefits of implementing such practices, energy efficiency and so on. And I know that most people are moving away from traditional bulbs and using LEDs and so on. So if you could just kind of break that down for us, I think it would give us a great perspective as to how you are making the world a cleaner place.
So as it relates to energy efficiency and sustainability,
yeah,
that is the core competency of facility managers.
Right.
We aim to find the most effective ways that we can conserve where possible.
Right.
It is something that is beneficial to each party that I mentioned earlier, the people, place, and the process.
Right.
As it relates to the people, they see the benefit as it relates to utility expenses. We manage to conserve consumption and utility costs, whether it be electric or water. They get less in terms of bills.
Right.
As it relates to the place, it now becomes a more attractive space for rentals and sales.
Absolutely.
I find people are more gravitated toward green spaces, which promotes the facility. As it relates to the process in itself is an educational one. So that's where the benefit comes, because the best practices or the energy efficient practices used,
right,
it gives you,
All right, so let's now discuss perhaps some of the strategies for incorporating the sustainable measures in terms of the facility design and operations on a larger scale.
We go back to technology.
Right.
Data analysis is a very important factor.
Mm-hmm.
This would help basically, see where you can save. So for instance, if you're in an area that's prone to rain, then the landlord may consider investing in a water reclamation facility. That's where he reuses the water, the storm drain water, the catchment water.
Treatment, storage systems and so on.
Yeah, as it relates to natural light, if you're not surrounded by a lot of taller buildings, such and so forth, you can install stuff like the photocell.
Yeah.
That way, your electricity, you're not using as much electricity on a daily basis. It comes on. I mean, the lights come on when it starts to get dark. So,
all right. So emergency preparedness, I'm sure that this is also a very big part of facility management and business continuity. Disruptions sometimes are inevitable, but how would you stress the necessity of having a robust emergency plan for your facility?
It's very necessary. The most common emergencies in a country like Barbados, right? Yeah. Now we have plans for fires, earthquakes, natural disasters,
right,
and intruders. And having standard operating procedures for how to handle each one is very important. You need to know what to do in the event of a fire. Whether you'd be able to, continue business the next day.
Yeah, so which leads me to my next question. What is your direct role in ensuring occupant safety during an emergency? Your direct role as a facility manager in ensuring my safety. I'm your tenant, I'm your occupant.
So my direct role, the facilitation of drills, mm-hmm, for whatever disaster or emergency it may be, fire drills, active shooter drills. If it were a case where the emergency was loss of power and water,
right,
we try to get backup energy and backup water systems. So it could either be through drills or systems.
Right.
So that's where I come in.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. I mean, communication, I imagine, is also very important, just to make sure people know you're on top of things and you're aligning with these service responders and so on to make sure that they can see that you're not just in a panic mode, but it's actioning the process in terms of getting back to business.
That is correct. We try to send out memos. We try to send out as much. We're transparent, mm-hmm, in what we do.
Right.
So if we have fire drill coming up, the only way a tenant is going to know is if they're doing a medical procedure.
Right.
I let them know. But we make sure that they have the knowledge of how to handle it, through these these drills and stuff.
Right. So the drills prepare, obviously, for events of sorts. So again, I know we touched earlier on technology, but let's explore now the use of technological tools in terms of computerized maintenance systems and so on. And, you know, how it enhances facility management processes.
So, yeah, as mentioned earlier, we do use a computer maintenance management system. Technology is very important or integral in a facility manager's role.
Mm-hmm.
What it does, it captures information that we turn into to use to make our operation as efficient and effective as possible.
Right. So we talked about preventative maintenance, but let's now touch on predictive maintenance in the use of computerized maintenance systems. How does it helps an FM better manage its organization as the point of view of predictive maintenance as opposed to preventative?
Of course. So there are various systems in technology that are used for predictive maintenance,
mm-hmm.
whether it be the BMS system or IoT devices. These sort of systems and devices have sensors that can pick up various alerts such as low oil levels or temperatures that are too high, you know, and this allows us to act on something before it becomes something.
Right.
So we may go and schedule a part replacement such as a fan belt or, you know, top up fuel for a generator. So those specific technology devices are what help us to predict.
All right, so let's take now a look at financial management and budgeting. Address for us, Neil, some best practices in terms of preparing budgets and financial reporting and cost forecasting, etc.
So a part of the facility management duties mm-hmm. is the financial aspects of the landlord. You know, it's his financial interests are our interests. We try to make sure our interests are intertwined.
Right.
Best practices as it relates to doing a budget, let's say, what we do, we go and seek quotations. Mm-hmm. We go back to our service contracts. We start to prep any potential works that we may have coming up, whether it be capital projects, yeah. So that we have an accurate estimate of prices that are going to be coming within the next year or two or three, you know. Then we put pen to paper and propose a budget.
Right. So you would obviously be looking back at the data captured in the current financial year to guide your next year.
Precisely.
Okay. All right. So the strategies for optimizing costs without compromising facility quality, because sometimes you get a larger budget the previous year and then, of course, you're asked to cut back the following year. How do you still manage to produce a budget that would enable you to deliver all the necessary services on a reduced level?
So having the budget to work with is one thing.
Right.
How you schedule your maintenance activities is where the actual optimization comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be strategic with how you plan your year, not just with spending the money,
yeah.
but when actually maintaining the building. For instance, let's use window cleaning, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We may do a biannual window cleaning segment where we do one in May and one in November.
Right.
However, the government announces that we're going to have several days of Sahara dust in May. What are you going to do? Still clean the windows in May? They're going to be dusty by June.
Absolutely.
So you pick and choose when to really execute certain things. That way you actually either meet the budget or, you know, stay within the cost, but you don't go over.
So in reality, yes, you might have it in plan, but you may opt to chop and change as you go through the year, depending on the realities of the day.
Precisely.
Okay.
You need to be able to think on your feet.
Right. And that helps a lot with cost containment as well.
Of course.
All right. Sounds good to me. Facility management sounds like a very big undertaking. So again, as a man in the business, Terra being the industry leaders, Neil, I'm sure you have many real life experiences under your belt, having been at this for quite some time. If you could just, you know, bring it closer to home and give us one of those real life stories, what would you choose to tell your listeners?
Okay, well, yeah, let's go based on actual experience. Mm-hmm. The project at hand, I had to do an entire building painting of a condominium. As mentioned earlier, I mean, the whole topic here is facility management best practices.
Absolutely.
So I would have actually followed the best practices to ensure that I had the outcome needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by doing that, what I would have done is submitted an RFQ, which is a request for a quotation.
Right.
In that RFQ, I would put a scope of works that I wanted to be done. That way, when the quotations do come in, I have quotations that you can say are comparable with apples, you know. Mm-hmm. Everyone's quoting on the same exact thing.
Right. So you set up the criteria now.
Correct. I set up the criteria. With the RFQ, you're required to submit the risk analysis, mm-hmm. you know, to ensure that you're not going to damage any plants below, because you set up scaffolding or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. There are things that may be below, whether it be a pool, planter beds,
yes.
cars. So you submit the risk analysis. A method statement was also submitted. This gave me the start and end dates, right. all the day-to-day happenings when you set up the scaffold, breakdown, you know, painting and such and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, insurance was provided. In this case, the scenario, the project actually went how it was supposed to go. You know, there were no issues. However, I did take several lessons from it because there are things that can happen at any point. There's weather, you know, sickness. And with that being said, you know, you have to take a little time for
yes,
room for error.
Absolutely. So, as you mentioned with the risk assessment, yes, you plan to cover all eventualities, but then on the day, sometimes, as you said, some things can go wrong. But so it's all about mitigation. It's all about recovery as well.
Precisely.
So the lessons learned from that, in a few words, so what would you say? The lessons learned from that particular scenario.
The lessons learned from that scenario. Even if we get a method statement that gives you a period of time, always add on a little extra. Because as you mentioned, there is room for error. Mm-hmm. You know, if there are 3 straight days of rain, you're not going to have any painting done.
Correct.
Give yourself some room for error. When you send your communications to landlords, owners, tenants, just give a little extra time.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds like good advice to me. I mean, as you said earlier, facility management is very complex. No 2 days are alike. And as the leaders in the industry, we certainly want to make sure we cover all of our bases to make sure that our tenants or landlords or boards has absolute confidence in what we do.
Yeah, no, that's it. You hit the nail on the head.
All right, so just to put a wrap on today's Terra Talks, if you were to summarize, you know, our discussion this afternoon, how would you summarize it for the man or woman that's just joined us?
As short as it may sound, cross your T's and dot your I's, because anything can happen if you're not prepared.
All that's left for me to do, Neil, is to thank you for joining us here on another edition of Terra Talks. I'm Bernard. As I said, you're the man in the business, and I wish you every continued success. My final word, though, is for those listening to us, that if you're thinking about facility management, Terra is the way to go. So until next time, this has been Terra Talks.
Thank you, Bernard. Thank you for having me on Terra Talks. It really was a pleasure being here.